I absolutely love to cook. I love making things absolutely from scratch with fresh ingredients. And I did not come by this naturally. My mother was a terrible, terrible cook. So I had to learn to cook. And I learned by watching lots and lots of cooking shows on the Food Network. Thank heavens for Emeril Lagasse, that's all I'm saying. And Rachel Ray and the Barefoot Kitchen, all the rest. Well, I can remember seeing in those cooking shows that I would watch, some of them would have lined up in the windowsills in their kitchens, little pots with fresh herbs. And I thought, wow, isn't that great? Even up here in the cold Midwest, I could have fresh herbs growing, and you just go over and you snip off a little mint or oregano or whatever you need. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And so several years ago, I thought, I'm going to do that. And I went out and I got some seeds and some potting soil and some cute little terracotta pots, and I put the dirt in the pots and I watered and I planted and I arranged them all nice in my window, and I just forgot one thing. I do not have a green thumb at all. As a matter of fact, I have the exact opposite of a green thumb. I have zero talent when it comes to gardening or houseplants or growing anything of any kind. And with as bad of luck as I have had in my life of trying to get things to grow, I often joke that it's a miracle I managed to keep three kids alive. You see, no matter my good intentions, no matter how much I may strive to follow precise directions for the care of my plants, I simply cannot make them grow. I can try the right light, the right soil, the right amount of water, and yet nothing. Some of the seeds never even sprouted. So I have come to the conclusion that I am just not meant to grow things. I know other people have a talent for it. I do not. You know, I joked a minute ago about keeping the kids alive, but there were moments when they were growing up that it was kind of touch and go. There were a period in there from like mid-elementary school through about eighth grade that I was sure either them or me weren't going to make it. At that age, the boys, they would begin at moments to show logic and understanding and that they just got how things were supposed to work. And then 30 seconds later, they would just be so clueless. And I would find myself getting frustrated or even angry, and I would wish to myself, God, would you just grow up already? But you know, I couldn't make them grow any more than I could make those plants grow in my windowsill. In our passage from 1 Corinthians today, I think Paul is maybe wishing these new Christians in Corinth would just grow up already. He's telling them that they are acting childish. I can't give you solid food, I'm only going to give you milk. Not only are they acting childish, they are childish. I mentioned last week that this church in Corinth is Paul's most troublesome church. Now, here's a guy who traveled all around the Mediterranean, from Israel up into Greece and Turkey and Italy. He's traveled all over. He has formed churches all over, and this is the one that makes him want to pull his hair out. These new Christians are sinning left and right. They are fighting and bickering with each other. They are not acting like Christians in any way, shape, or form. They're even dividing into factions over which church leader they follow. Some were claiming to be followers of Paul. Some were claiming to be followers of this other guy called Apollos. And today, Paul is telling them, knock it off. As Christians, you're meant to be more. But you know, Paul's a whole lot wiser than I am. Because he says in our passage today, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. God is the one they should be following, and God would be the one to help them grow, not Paul, not Apollos. Where do we turn when we are looking for help to grow? Do we appeal to friends or to parents or mentors? There are times where that is absolutely appropriate, but when it comes to growing in our faith, then it is to God that we need to turn, and it is to God's will that we need to submit. You know, over my lifetime, there are many, many things that I have tried to be better at. I have tried to be smarter. I have tried to be taller. I have tried to be thinner. And at times, it seems like I'm making some headway. And then at times, I fall away. And those moments where I have succeeded, where I have gained ground, it is because I have turned to God. Even in my weight loss journey, now, I have struggled with weight my whole life, since I was a little girl. And a couple years ago, I really started taking it seriously. Virg and I both did, and I lost quite a bit of weight, and I was really doing good. And I realized, looking back, the reason why. It wasn't that I was trying to fit into somebody's idea of what I should look like. It wasn't that I was trying to get into a smaller pant size. I began to take seriously the scripture that said, our body is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. I began to think about, what does God want for my body? What kind of health routine, what kind of shape do I want to be in for God? Not for me, not for society, but for God. And it was only when I kept my focus on that that I found success. I've spent close to 20 years working with youth in churches. Katie, I'm sorry, I know that. Aaron, that makes me sound so old, doesn't it? God. 20 years, and as I think back over those years and all of the students that I have had the great honor to get to know during that time, you know, there are so many that I don't know where they are today. I don't know what their life is like. I don't know where they're at in their faith. There are others that I have kept up with. Some have had a lot of struggles in their lives, and it seems like they just keep getting hard knocks. And others I see, and it just seems like it's success after success, and their achievements are as varied as their stories. And you know, I have no idea what impact my time with them has had on their lives. But even more than that, I know that that isn't really what's important. My job with those kids was to plant seeds of faith. Some were just being introduced to faith in those days. Some were finding their own faith, not just the faith of their parents. But no matter who they were, where they were on their spiritual journey, I couldn't make them grow. It's not my job to make them grow. It was my job to plant, to water, to give them what they needed so that they could open themselves up to God working in their lives. You know, I think of, as we're talking about this metaphor of growth, and we can't make others grow, we can't make ourselves grow, I think about the sunflower, right? What does it do on sunny days? It turns to face the sun. It opens itself up to receive that warmth, all that it needs from that sunlight to be able to grow. That's our job in our lives, to turn to God to get what we need to grow. It is our job as we're mentoring those around us to help them see the need to turn to God. We don't make people grow. Only God does. For those of you who were here last week or who maybe listened to the message online, we talked about how in this day and age, it seems like everything and everybody is divided into sides. And those sides do little more than scream and yell about how terrible the other side is. We talked about how dividing and fighting like that, whether in politics or in churches, in towns or in families, the bickering and the fighting, it is a sin. We heard that in our Matthew reading today. We need to stop all of the talking about one another and begin loving each other. And we discussed that our greatest witness to the world of our faith is most often not our words, but our actions. And I think that that thought continues on in this passage of Scripture. Because perhaps one of the best ways that we can plant seeds of faith in others is to let them see the growth in us. We can't make them grow, but we can show them what a lush, bountiful garden God is raising in us. What does the fullness of Christian love look like? What does the fruit of the Spirit look like? What does it mean to be a fully grown Christian? Let the world see that in us. You know, I can remember when I was a little girl going out to my grandparents' farm, spending time with my grandparents, and out front of the house, the driveway came out, and then a little ways over, there was a sidewalk that ran to the garbage barrel. And in between that sidewalk and the driveway, there was a flower bed. And every year, Grandma had moss roses in that flower bed. Moss roses were her favorite flower. And I loved them too. And I have this vague memory of being, I couldn't have been much more than about 4 years old, playing out in the front yard while Grandma was putting some clothes up on the line. And I can remember looking at those moss roses. Now, of course, I was little enough that I didn't really understand that, you know, the big roses like you see on Valentine's Day and moss roses are two very different things. I heard rose and thought, well, these are roses. But why are they so small and so close down to the ground? Why don't they have those big long stems or grow on the bushes like the big roses do? And so I bent over and I grabbed one of those little moss roses and I tried to just, oh, so gently help it to stretch. I thought I could make it bigger. I thought I could make the blossom bigger, the leaves bigger, the stem longer. Well, you know what happened, right? Boop! Right up out of the ground. I plucked that little moss rose. I was trying to make that moss rose into something it was never meant to be. I thought that I could tug and stretch and cajole it into being something bigger, something better. How often do we do that to others? How often do we try to make someone fit into our idea of who and what they should be? We do it with our elected officials all the time. Sometimes even refusing to see those parts that don't quite fit into the box we have constructed for them. We do it with our spouses. We do it with our friends and our families. And perhaps most often, we do it with our children. We cannot make them into something else. We cannot force them to grow. Nor can we force ourselves to grow. God does that work. We can only ever submit to God's power and to God's authority in our lives and in the lives of others. We can plant, we can water, but God gives the growth. Thanks be to God for it. Amen.